James chapter 4, verse 11. This is one of those verses that is as easy to understand as it is hard to practice. James chapter 4 and verse 11, please. The first part says, "Do not speak evil of one another, brethren." Tonight, with the Lord's blessing, we'll complete our study of Richard Baxter on backbiting or gossip. Thus far, he's told us what backbiting is and why it's so bad. Now he comes to the cure for how to stop backsliding. This is easier said than done, but stop it you must, for backbiting grieves the Spirit of God, it sows discord among brethren, and puts your soul in grave danger. So how do you do it? How do you stop gossiping or listening to others who do? Baxter has 9 very good pieces of advice. If we followed half of them, we'd be much better off than we are. And so here they are. Number 1, if you want to stop backsliding, you must practice brotherly love. Here's the quote. "Maintain the life of brotherly love. Love your neighbor as yourself." This is an obvious one, isn't it? But also the one you are most likely to forget. Brotherly love is nothing more than treating others as you want to be treated by them. Do you want your friends and neighbors and acquaintances to gossip about you? Well, if you don't gossip about them. Hold yourself to the same standard to which you hold them. Why do you gossip about other people? Well, that's not easy to say. But here's an easy one. Why do other people gossip about you? That's easy. People gossip about me because they're proud, envious, impatient, malicious, or just downright bored. That's why people gossip about me. And that's why I gossip about other people. Let's face it, that's why the faults that make them gossip are the very same faults that make you gossip. And so look for these sins in your life, confess them to the Lord, pray for grace to overcome them, and learn to practice some self-control. Cheap novels and bad movies make love into an overwhelming passion. It often is that, of course, but it's a whole lot more than that. Love is also a discipline to do others good. It's a matter of denying yourself daily, taking up your cross, and following Christ. And so if you want to stop bad-mouthing other people, you've got to start loving other people. Paul, quoting Moses, says, "Love works no ill toward his neighbor." And so if you love your neighbor, if you love your friend, if you love your spouse or your brother or sister in Christ, you won't be gossiping about that person. That's number 1, and really the most important thing. The other things really are just sort of expositions of this one. If you want to stop gossiping, bad-mouthing other people, you've got to replace that bad-mouthing with brotherly love. Number 2, if you want to stop gossiping, keep an eye on your emotions, or keep control of your emotions. Here's the quote, "Watch narrowly lest passion should prevail upon you. For where it prevails, the tongue is set on fire of hell, and will set on fire the course of nature. Passion will not only prompt you to speak evil, but also to justify it and to think you do well." Anger has a way of making you say things you shouldn't say. When anger is held on to for a while, it becomes bitterness and has a way of justifying your gossip. This means if you don't want to gossip, you've got to control your emotions, especially your temper. And the best way to control your temper is to remember your own sinfulness and to remember how patient the Lord is with you. Where would you be if the Lord's anger flared up as quickly and as hotly as your anger does? Where would you be if the Lord nursed a grudge the way you nurse a grudge? Think on that long and hard, and you'll get more control of your temper. And when you do, you'll cut way down on your backbiting. That's number two. Well, good evening. What we're talking about tonight is we're doing an historical study of Richard Baxter. I can't see you with my glasses on. Richard Baxter on backbiting or gossiping. And what I'm trying to do is give the nine reasons that Baxter gives in his book, the nine ways, I should say, to stop backbiting or gossiping. We've just finished number two. The first is practice brotherly love. And then secondly, if you want to stop backbiting, then keep control of your temper. Now here's number three. If you want to stop backbiting, beware of a party spirit. A party spirit, of course, is not the spirit that enjoys going to a party. It's the spirit of faction. The belief that my group is right, my people are good, our folks are closer to God than anybody else. And so Baxter says, especially do not involve yourself in any faction. A faction or a party is a group who think they're so good or so right or so close to God that they're allowed to badmouth everyone who is not with them. And I'll let you in on a dirty secret here. Pastors are among the worst offenders here. I've heard good men talk about other Christians, Christians who don't belong to their church or to their sect or to their denomination. And you'd think they were talking about the Antichrist, the beast, and the false prophet. Now, deep down, they know better. They know these others, though wrong on some points, still love the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, they're so identified with their faction. They're so in love with their group, they can't see any good in people who don't belong to it. Beware of the party spirit if you want to stop gossiping. You can mark this down, that no matter how right you are or how much truth you hold or how good or holy you are, that if you're gossiping about others, speaking evil of others whom Christ died for, you're not that close to God. You're not pleasing the Lord. Learning to practice self-control, learning to live in brotherly love, learning to keep your mouth shut when tempted to gossip should be one of the first marks of grace rather than one of the last. And so that's number three. If you want to stop gossiping, beware of a party spirit. Number four, let the commonness of gossip scare you. Baxter writes, observe well the commonness of this sin of backbiting, that it may make you the more afraid of falling into that which so few escape. Now this is a very sharp observation. Because gossip is so common, you get used to it and begin to think it's no big deal. But the seriousness of a sin is not determined by how many people commit it. No, it's God who makes that decision. And God says gossip is a very big deal. And the fact that it's so common makes it worse, not better, because you don't notice it and you don't recoil from it in horror. Because gossip is so common, it is easy to commit with a good conscience and without anyone calling you on it. If you start speaking obscenely, your brothers and sisters in Christ are going to call you on it. But if you gossip, how many are? If you start taking the Lord's name in vain, you're going to feel guilty about it. You're going to be shocked that you would use the sacred name in such a flippant or even obscene way. But you utter a few words of gossip here or there, you're not going to feel that badly about it. And so pray for a tender conscience. And when you get one, you will stop gossiping. The commonness of gossip ought to scare you. The fact that good people, mature people, theologically sharp people are often tremendously guilty of gossip ought to make you scared to gossip. If they can fall into the sin, then so can you. That's number four. Number five is this. If you want to stop gossiping, don't believe rumors without good proof. Baxter writes, "Take not the honesty of a person as the sufficient cause to hear or believe a bad report of others." This is something we've talked about before repeatedly. No charge or accusation can be received without evidence, and, take my word for it, is not evidence. Even if I'm known for my honesty, without being a liar, I could still be prejudiced or mistaken. You only repeat rumors that you think are true. So don't be so quick to believe every rumor you hear, and you won't be so quick to gossip. That's number five. Here's number six. Call people on their gossip. Rebuke backbiters and do not encourage them by hearkening to their tales. Now there's a proverb that says, as the north wind brings cold, so does an angry countenance bring on backbiting. I should say, expels backbiting. Now I guarantee you this one will work. If someone starts whispering to you and you call him on it, he's not likely to do it again. At least not anytime soon. If he's tender-hearted, he'll feel convicted about his gossip. But if he's not, he'll just get mad about it. And he'll look for someone else to backbite to. In either event, you're better off. Now, of course, you mustn't be hard or self-righteous about this. Galatians 6:1 says that if we see a brother overtaken in a fault, we ought to reprove him gently in the spirit of meekness, lest we're also tempted. But still, as meekly as possible, you ought not to let others get away with sinning by gossiping, and you ought not to let other people pollute your mind with gossip. Now, I know you're hospitable and enjoy having people come over to your home, but I imagine you wouldn't let somebody come over who would bring his garbage can with him and dump it in your living room floor. I don't imagine you'd let that go on very often before that person would no longer be welcome. And yet, you know, the fact is, a floor is a whole lot easier to vacuum than a mind is to clean out of gossip. And so call people on their gossip. Again, this is an embarrassing thing, certainly. It's scary to you. It'll embarrass the person who is gossiping. But it will dramatically cut down on the amount of gossip you hear and also the amount of gossip you speak. That's number six. Here's number seven. Counter gossip by saying good things. If you want to stop people from gossiping to you, counter it by saying good things about the person he's gossiping about. Baxter says, make mention of the good which is in others. God's gifts in every man deserve praise, and we are allowed to mention men's virtues more often than their vices. And this custom will rebuke the evil tongues of others and be an example to them of more charitable language. Now, you know, the best way to put out a fire is with water. Well, why don't you pour water on the fire of gossip by bringing up good things in the person who's being torched? Now, this is going to work on at least four levels. Number one, if I whisper to you what a rascal so-and-so is, and you say something good about that person, at the very least, it will present the man as he really is, and not the lopsided view that gossip always takes. Gossip is never fair. It's never multidimensional. It's always one-dimensional. I identify one bad thing about you and talk about that as though that's the only characteristic of your life. So you bring up something good about the person, and that will present a fairer view of the man. Number two, bringing up something good has a way of changing the subject. Hey, did you hear such and such? He's really, really lazy. Yeah, but he really loves his wife. Yeah, I know, but he's really lazy. But you know, he seems to be a wonderful dad, too. You know, it changes the subject. That's very helpful in and of itself. It also checks the backbiter by telling him you think highly of the person that he's roasting. I'll never forget being a kid and my parents and I were visiting a pastor we know, a good friend of ours. And then a second pastor came over. He began to light into a third pastor. But just about the first paragraph, my dad said, well, you know, he's a good friend of mine. And that immediately stopped the gossip. They went on to something else. And so it checks the backbiter by telling him that you think more highly of the person that he's bawling out. And then hopefully, under the blessing of God, it makes the gossip ashamed of himself. Changing the subject is really a gentle, quiet way of reproving the man by telling him, in effect, let's talk about something else. And who's to say that God won't bless that very gentle rebuke to bring that person to repentance? And so the next time someone starts bad-mouthing a friend, you start good-mouthing him and see if a blessing doesn't come out of it. That's number seven. Here's number eight. Think and talk about the evils of backbiting. If you want to stop gossiping yourself and if you want to stop listening to it, you spend more time thinking about how bad it is and talking about how bad it is. Baxter writes, understand yourselves and speak often to others of the sinfulness of evil speaking and backbiting. Show them the scriptures which condemn it and the wickedness that is in it. Now, according to Psalm 1, the blessed man does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, he doesn't stand in the way of sinners, and he doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. And he doesn't do these things for a very good reason. Because he delights in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. When it comes to gossip, because it's so common and respectable, and even Christian in the sense that many Christians do it, but when it comes to gossip, you've got to be reminded of how bad it is, of what it does to people, and of how much the Lord hates that gossip. You get these reminders in the Bible. Go through the book of Proverbs carefully and just underline in your Bible or make mental notes of those verses that speak out against gossip. There are many of them. Talebearer separates chief friends. The words of a talebearer are like tasty morsels that go down into the soul. Many verses like these could be named. Just go over these verses over and over again and don't wait until you're tempted to backbite. Go over these verses as an ordinary part of your daily devotions. Go over one or two a day. You'll be greatly helped in your gossip. The psalm says, how shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to your word. And so if we want our speech cleaned up, if we want our speech to go from backbiting, corrupting, degenerate, to something edifying, wholesome, and life-giving, then we've got to meditate on those scriptures that point out the evil of backbiting and the goodness of graceful speaking. And then that's number eight. And here's the last one. And I think this is maybe the best one of all. If you want to stop backbiting, replace it with something better. Make conscience of just reproof and exhorting sinners to their faces. Go tell them of it privately and lovingly, and it will have better effects and bring you more comfort and cure the sin of backbiting. Now, what do you gossip about? Well, the only things you gossip about are bad things about other people. Now, what does the Bible say? What does the Lord say that we ought to do when we spot bad things in other people? Well, it seems to me that it says four things. When I spot a bad thing in you, one thing the Bible tells me to do is to overlook that fault. Love covers a multitude of sins. It's a man's glory to overlook a transgression. And so that's one thing I can do. I can replace backbiting with simply overlooking your sins. That's a good thing to do. Number two, you can also forbear with the person or forgive the person. Colossians 3:13 says, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. And so, when I see something bad in you and I recognize it as bad and I can't quite get it out of my mind, I can simply bear with you. Recognize that's a weakness on your part, but I've got plenty of weaknesses too. And I want you to bear with my weaknesses, so I bear with yours. Or if it's a little bit more than a weakness, the Bible also says to forgive it. That's something we can always do. We spot something bad in another person. Maybe it's something you do to me. Maybe it's something I do to you. And so what we do, we understand that we've been offended, we've been mistreated, we've been abused in some way. I can simply forgive. That's another thing we can do. So we can overlook sins. We can forbear with sins. We can forgive sins. We can also pray for sinners. That seems to be an obvious thing. When you see someone sinning, why not pray for the person? If you just got to talk to somebody about how rotten that person is, why don't you talk to God about how rotten that person is? You can't gossip to the Lord. That will do the sinner some good. And then finally, you can also privately and humbly correct the person. That's the scripture I cited before. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Many other scriptures can be named to the same effect. And so replace backbiting with something productive, something godly, something that's likely to result in good. Question, what good has backbiting ever done? Has it ever brought peace? Has it ever given you a good conscience? Has it ever helped the person you're backbiting? And that's not even possible, is it? It's not even possible if I see a fault in him to tell her, and so how can that possibly help him? And so obviously we ought to replace backbiting with something better. And when you start doing one of these things, you'll stop backbiting. Jesus Christ our Lord said, to whom much is given, much will be required. Very few Christians in the last 300 years have read or heard the wisdom of Richard Baxter on backbiting. But you're one of them who has. Now you've got to do something with the wisdom he's given you. And really, there are only three things you can possibly do. You can simply reject it out of hand and say, that's not agreeable to God, but show me the scripture verses. Obviously, backbiting is a sin. Baxter doesn't say so, but God says so. You can simply reject it, or you can listen politely and do nothing about it. You can say, well, that was really wonderfully written. Baxter was a great man. And then do nothing. But you know, there were men in the Old Testament who did this, and they came under the severe condemnation of God. They lived in the days of Ezekiel, and they went to hear the prophet regularly. And at the end of his prophecies, they said, Amen. And Ezekiel was very pleased with these men at the good reception they gave him. But the Lord came to him and said, Son of man, these men come to you and listen as one comes to listen to a skillful musician, merely to be entertained. You know, it's a Puritan kind of entertainment. We don't like all that fluff that we hear nowadays. We're into something deep. We read the Puritans. We listen to Baxter. But it's not good enough to be entertained by the Puritans. Insofar as their advice is agreeable to God's word, we're bound to obey. And that's the third option. We can listen politely and do nothing. We can get mad and reject it. Or we can act on it in faith and obedience. It's obvious what God wants us to do. He wants us to obey. He goes out of his way, both in James and Romans, to tell us that it's not hearers of the word that are justified. These people are not pleasing to the Lord, but doers of the word. And I might add, to me, teaching these words, it's not those who say, Lord, Lord, and properly expound the scriptures who are pleasing to God, but those who obey the scriptures. And so what are we going to do with this? I've laid out for you the last 4 weeks the meaning of backbiting. Backbiting can be defined as speaking evil of someone without proof and without a good reason to bring it up. I talked about the evil of backbiting, how it hurts your soul, how it hurts other people, and how it greatly dishonors God. And now I've shown you what to do about your backbiting under these 9 headings. So what are we going to do about it? Listen politely or act in faith and obedience? You know what the answer is. Now by God's grace, go out and obey. Let's pray, please. Heavenly Father, we give thanks to You through our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You that You are a God very eager to forgive us and wash away the stain of our sin. And Lord, if You did not do this, we would stand condemned as backbiters. This is something we have done, something we've done with more regularity than we care to admit, with more malice and pride and contempt than we like to confess, and yet it is true. And so, Lord, I ask You to forgive us of this very great sin. And with forgiveness, Lord, we also want cleansing. We want that malice and that pride and that contempt taken away from us so that we might love others for Christ's sake. We want to love our enemies and our neighbors and especially our brothers and sisters in Christ. And Lord, I pray that You would help us to do this. And Father, I do pray that we would replace our backbiting with something better than that, that we might speak wholesome words that build up each other rather than these degenerate words that have a way of destroying others. Thank You, Lord, for each one who's come tonight, and I thank You for the study that I pray You would bless it now to our good, that we might all benefit from it and not just be hearers of that word. In Jesus' name I pray these favors. Amen.